Thank you to the CBC worship team for that song. Hope has come. You know, our theme this month has been the gift, and talking about how Jesus is the gift. So let's bow our heads as we just open with a word of prayer this morning. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you are the gift and that we can come today to get closer to you, and that when we say Merry Christmas, that it means something. I pray that you would help us as we go to the Word today to draw closer to you and to see that you are not only the gift, but you are our hope. I thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I love that song so much because it so well describes what Jesus means to me. You know, He is our hope. And at Christmas, we celebrate the fact that He is the hope that has come. It's settled. Let's open your Bible, please, this morning, and let's turn to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Now, we have been talking about the gift, and we looked at Isaiah 53, one of the most famous prophecies about Jesus, one of hundreds and hundreds of prophecies in the Old Testament about Jesus, a Messiah, literally a help is on the way kind of God, help is on the way, the gift of Jesus who was predicted, a Messiah who was predicted. And from Isaiah 53, we learned that God is alive and active. And we learn that God sees the fix that we're in. We learn that He doesn't want us trying to work our way out of it. We learn that He prepared a way for us. We learn that His redemption is complete. We learn that He wants us to accept the gift, which is Jesus. And last Sunday, we looked at Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25, and Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 55. And remember, if you missed, you can listen to those on our website or through iTunes. And we looked at a little bit about Mary and Joseph's journey prior to the birth of Jesus. We looked at the visitation they had and what their journey was like and what happened with them, what was said to them, and we looked at how they responded so that we could ask ourselves, how do we respond to baby Jesus? How do we respond at this time of year? And we looked and we talked last week a little bit about the miracle of the virgin birth. It's an amazing thing, the virgin birth. And we looked at the deity of Christ and the Trinity and who God the Son, what that really means, because we learn, even in this Christmas story, we learn more about the Trinity. We learn more about God the Son. And so we talked last week a little bit about how if we are going to respond like Mary and Joseph did to the virgin birth, to the deity of Christ, to God with us, as His name was described, they were told what to name Him so that His name would mean, right, the God who saves, right, He who saves, and His name meant the God with us. And the way they responded to that was through submission. They submitted to God's will and God's plan, and with stewardship. It was a 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week thing, 30-year, 40-year-long thing for them, Mary and Joseph, this journey. And so we really have come now to the time of the birth of Jesus in the story, because we've looked at the prophecies and we've looked at what was said and done and what Mary and Joseph's part of the journey. And so now as we go to Luke chapter 2, we're going to look more specifically at the birth of Jesus. And with these pictures here, I just want to remind you what we talked about last week. There is a difference between dissecting in a scientific way Jesus and digesting the gift of Jesus. There is a difference. When we dissect something, we kill it for scientific purposes. We determine, we pull out each part of the innards there, and we determine what is this used for, and we determine how it can be useful. When we digest something, we see it, we smell it, we taste it, we savor it, we take it in. We take it in really with a step of faith that it will be what we think it is, right? Right? that it's not going to give us bad dreams or worse, right? There's a step of faith when you eat something, when you go to digest something. But when you digest something, you've come to a place of accepting it. When you come to a place of accepting it, your body is then putting it to use. And so we've talked about how Jesus is a gift to us and is not a gift that's to be left in a box wrapped under the tree that we brag about. That He is a gift that God wants us to open. He is a gift that God wants us to use the power of the salvation that God has given us through the very gift of Jesus Christ. Amen? Right? And so that's kind of where we've come to this point. So let's, if we can, look at Luke chapter 2, and I'd like to read verses 1 through 20, and I'm going to read from New Living this morning. At that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken by Quirinius, when Quirinius was governor of Syria. All returned to their own ancestral towns to register for the census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, his fiancée, who was now obviously pregnant. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her first child, a son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no lodging available for them. That night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but an angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David, and you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth lying in a manger." Suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in a manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. But Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. Aren't you grateful for your Bible? I mean, you know what I mean? Aren't you grateful for the big picture story and the details? Right? Aren't you grateful that we kind of have that all? Now, you remember, Luke, Dr. Luke, is writing this so that Theophilus and us, so that we could have an account of what actually happened. And he's writing specifically, right? He's recounting things with detail. But he's also writing because this is the completion, if you will, of what God has been doing from the very beginning. And we can't even talk about Jesus and what the hope of Jesus means without remembering what we're talking about here, right? Now, some of you saw that I had posted a link of my dad's recent message on this topic, on the topic of hope. And in that, if you watched that, you saw him talk about how in the 16th century, you know, there's a lot of different stories for that, there was writing about the initiation of the Christmas wreath. The idea of the Christmas wreath and where that came from. And it came literally from the idea of there being hope with no end. Right? That Jesus, and this was literally the idea where the Christmas wreath came from historical documents, that Jesus was the hope with no end. Hope eternal. Joy to us with no end. It's not like a milk carton with the expiration date branded on the side. Not after, Lord knows we respect that more than anything else, you know? It's like, you know, you can have cold medicine and just warning, do not, you know, drink this and operate heavy machinery. Oh, that's for amateurs, people that don't know what they're doing. Glug, glug, glug. I've been doing this 15 years, you know? Or, you know, don't iron this or don't whatever. We ignore labels all the time. But the milk carton, it's got that date branded. Lord knows you look at that thing every time, right? Am I right? You know, you look at that thing. Jesus is hope without end, with no expiration date. And you think about, you know, the deals post Thanksgiving as we, you know, shop for Christmas. So we got to get the deal. I got the coupon. I got this, that, and the other. And what are we thinking about? We're thinking about when that deal expires. Jesus is hope to us from God, and the deal is still on. It doesn't matter where you've come from. It doesn't matter what you've been. It doesn't matter what you've done. Just as Ron was telling his testimony today, what I love about Ron's testimony is he and his wife went through that journey of being estranged from each other, of being separated from each other, of talking about divorce, of going through divorce proceedings, that when they were at the final proceeding at the court date, right, that's when they made the decision, no, we're not going to get a divorce. And the divorce was never finalized. And they are back together today. And now for how many years? For 8 years back together. Now see, the deal is still on. See, even when we think there's no hope, right? Even when we will knuckle down and pay a lawyer, right? Because we think there's no hope. God says there is hope. There is hope without end. When you look at that, we have a really... I don't know quite how to describe the wreath that we have on our front door. It's both beautiful and amazing, like my wife, but I've never seen anything like it. It's kind of like red tinsel material, and it's very classy. It's wonderful. But when I see that wreath today, I'm going to think about Jesus is the hope without end. Now remember, this is important because even before history had started to be written, people were passing down the verbal tradition, the verbal account of what happened at creation, right? In the beginning, God, right? And the story of Adam and Eve, right? And they sinned, right? They sinned against God by partaking of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They disobeyed. They did it specifically. The only tree that God said, don't eat of that fruit. The only thing, right? You know, my children that are lovely and amazing, I can give them a lot of freedom and say, just don't do this one thing. And what do you hear 5 minutes later? Smack. Wah! Right? We don't know which of those glorious children hit the other one, but something went wrong, and the one thing I told them not to do, they do. They come by that naturally. So did I. Right? Adam and Eve, they're in the garden, do not partake of this fruit. What is the one thing that they do? They partake of that fruit. Sin enters the picture. From that moment on, we are all born with a sin nature. Did you realize that it's not the mistakes that you've made in your life that separated you from God? You were born into this thing. You were born in sin. Read your Bible. There's no other way of looking at it. You're born in sin, separated from a living God, right? Now, when you're born in that place, as you are separated from God, God didn't leave you there, right? Now, throughout the journey that we read in the Bible, Noah, what's the point of Noah's ark? What's the rainbow? Right? A symbol of God's hope. Hope without end. Right? Hope without end. And God initiates how they can worship Him. And God then, throughout the Old Testament, we read the stories about how God initiates covenants with Abraham, with Moses, right? With David. God initiates covenants. And that's where we had animal sacrifice, right? And priests, and eventually a temple, and eventually a king. And all of those things that were added read your Bible, they were added because of the disobedience of God's people. God is saying, okay, if you can't follow me, worship me, enjoy faith in me, enjoy forgiveness of sins in these simple ways, I'm going to have to add steps. Right? God says, I'm going to have to. So throughout the Old Testament, we read, they've got feasts, they have times of fasting. They have times to celebrate good things. They have times to remember bad things. They have to sacrifice animals. And then what eventually do we have? We have a veil that is between them and the very presence of God, the Holy of Holies, where the mercy seat sits, right? And a priesthood. So we have these layers. All this time, as we talked about over the last couple of weeks, there have been prophecies about the Messiah. The one who would come that would bring an end to that system, right? The one who would come that only through the Messiah would they have forgiveness of sins. Listen, they were literally killing animals. Like, we can't even fathom that right now, right? We can't even fathom. And there were people, there were other nations around them that would kill their children to their gods, right? That was that's what people degrade down into, right? Devolve down into in an attempt to be forgiven of their past, in an attempt to say, you know, it's okay, right? I'm going to be all right. God had for centuries been foretelling through the prophets, there will come a Messiah who will bring an end to this system and who will initiate a new covenant, a new way of worshiping me, a new way where you can be forgiven, where you can be made whole. That's what's in your Bible. All right. All of these Old Testament books until we come to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, right? There's 400 years of silence from the last prophecy until Jesus comes to earth. And so when Mary and Joseph have a visitation from an angel and say, there will be a virgin birth and you will call his name Jesus. He will be the God who saves. You will call his name Emmanuel because he will be God with us. That was an initiation of something new. That was an initiation of something, and God was doing something entirely new. Now, I've never been physically pregnant. Sometimes I overeat and I feel big, but I've never been physically pregnant. I've only been really close to two pregnancies with our children. Now, I have no concept of what pregnancy is like. As a man, I just find that it's smart for me to talk like that. Right? I have no concept of what childbirth is like, even though I was right there. Right? But I do know that each pregnancy for us was different. And that other people that I've talked to, parents that have had multiple children and doctors and midwives and nurses that have been around a lot of births would also say that every pregnancy is different. Right? And what you have often in pregnancy is hope. Right? Joy. You've heard about the glow. Right? Right? There's hope. There's change that's been initiated. This was all of that that you could experience in the physical, plus so much more because of what it meant in the spiritual. It had to be a virgin birth because of what the Messiah means to us. Right? Now, we talked in the last couple of weeks a little bit about the gift and the idea of Christmas gifts. And it was Jesus who said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. That was Jesus, not J.C. Penney's, right? Yeah, that or Target. It was Jesus, right? It's more blessed to give than to receive. Now, whether you know it or not, a lot of malls and a lot of stores that are in the malls stay open throughout the year because of what they make around Christmas time. Literally, they make enough profit around the holiday of Christmas, around it is more blessed to give than to receive. They are at a loss. Just ask a general manager, you'll find this to be true. They operate at a loss for most of the year, and it is Christmas when they make enough profit to survive for the whole year. Do you realize that without Christmas, we would not have malls? We would not have, some of us think that's a good thing because we want to go postal. Don't confess that just yet, right? Because the parking and the, right? So Jesus is the gift, the hope without end. When we talk about giving a gift, a physical, normal gift, right? Remember what it was like when you were a kid. I don't know how, when your parents put that box under the tree, but you'd sneak out, run down, grab that gift in the tree, shake it, scratch it, sniff it, smell it, right? Trying to figure out, what is this? What's in the box? Oh, I tore the paper. Mom's going to kill me. Right? She's going to catch me. I was peeking. The mystery of not knowing what's in that gift is half the fun. But it's not fulfilled until we open it. Right? Jesus is the gift. There is mystery. There is wonder in the gift. If you are at a place where your life is terrible, I can guarantee you that a part of the emotion that you're going through, the stress and the strain, is not so much because of what you think. If you would stop and focus on Jesus, who He is, what that means, that joy can overwhelm everything else and change how you relate to it. Okay, let's go back to the scripture. Now, what I was talking about there is kind of a big picture of what everyone who was interacting with this knew about the coming Messiah before the birth. And what we today know in the big picture, right? In the big picture, what does Jesus the gift mean to us? He means that hope. Now, let's just break this story down just a little bit real quickly before we close and try to learn a few basic things from it. Now, first of all, I want to zero in on what is said to the shepherds in verse 10 and 11. Jesus is the gift, the Savior, the Messiah, the Lord. Now think about it. If this has been prepared for thousands of years, right? The angels were there. They were present when, as Philippians 2 describes, Jesus chose to not think about His place into heaven. He chose to come to earth to take on the sins of mankind. If the angels were there for that, I think they know how to describe Him. And they know that this is His moment. And they've been waiting. And I can just imagine, I want to see the video someday when I get to heaven. You know, which ones were, how did God draft which angels? Was it a draft of who, which angels would get to go down? And how did they prepare what they were going to say and who got chosen and what happened? They were specific with the words that they said about Jesus, the words that they said about this baby that had just been born, according to the prophecy, were chosen for a reason. They said that Jesus is the Savior. The Savior, the Messiah, right? That means the anointed one, right? He's the one that was predicted for hundreds of years, predicted, the one who was promised to us, the one who would come and be God with us. He is also the Lord, right? The King above all kings, the Lord above all lords, meaning He reigns above any other authority. President of the United States, right? Prime ministers, kings, royal families, rulers, democracies, whatever, even the king of the prince of darkness, right? That prince of the air. He is king above all kings. He is Lord above all lords. That's the first thing we draw away from this. Number two, in verse 17, chapter 2, verse 17, after seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said about the child. I propose to you that when you come into contact with Jesus for real, you want to tell people about it. That's just the natural state of affairs. Lord help me if I ever guilt trip anyone into talking about Jesus. I don't need to. One thing that I have learned from my own life is that if I am truly saved, if I go through new birth, right, if I go through salvation, it only happens because God enables me. God reaches out to me. God draws me to Himself, to His throne of kindness. I respond. I wake up to the fact that I've been forgiven. I open up the gift that is Jesus, the hope without end. And at that point, I can't help but tell someone else about it. Now, Guy Kawasaki from old Apple days talks about being an evangelist. And he talks about all the Appleites being evangelists of the Apple brand, their iPads and, you know, iPods and, you know, everything else. And about how he, in his books, he talks about them as evangelists. Now, because they're so excited about the brand, they can't help but talk about it. Now, you probably know I'm a little bit on the excitable side. And I love food. And when I get into different things, I love different, like even as we've been learning about Johns Hopkins lacrosse. That's kind of exciting. You know, when I find something that's exciting, I like to tell someone else about it. I want to tell someone else. When I, you know, the rocket to Venus, the deep fried pancake batter, peanut butter and jelly sandwich with a little bit of ice cream and chocolate sauce is amazing. But it's a little bit like a narcotic. I really can't handle it maybe more than once a year, right? But I like to talk about it because I saw the value in it. How much more so when you accept Jesus, the gift, hope without end, when you see Him, you want to talk about it. And that's what we see from the shepherds. Number three, from Mary's part of the story, verse 19. But Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. Now, my mother, Glenda Mulman, who you can find on Amazon, has written a book called The Journey of a Mother's Heart. And in her book, The Journey of a Mother's Heart, she talks about the journey that Mary must have gone through in being the mother of Jesus. And you can only imagine what that would have been like. And when this says, when she's, look, she's going through these wacky shepherds. Do you realize that shepherds stink? Right? Shepherds did not smell pleasant. They're out there with the sheep. They sleep outdoors. It's a different thing, right? And the baby is in a manger because they had nowhere else to stay. This is a crazy part of the journey. You know that she didn't know how this story was going to end. But what did she do? She remembered the big picture and the details, and she considered it. She thought about it often. When you accept Jesus, the gift, in your life, it's not, okay, check that box, move on, going to get on with the rest of my real life. No! It's something that you should remember and something that you should consider. I really, really recommend that tomorrow morning before you go to work, and I know that this will be hard because the Ravens game is going to go late tonight when they beat the Chargers before 11 p.m. Please. I know this is going to be hard, but try to get up early enough tomorrow that you have time to do a little bit of exercise and get your blood pumping and take a shower and clean, you know, get clean and smelling nice and all that stuff. And sit down with a cup of coffee and sit down with your Bible and sit down with a pen and a piece of paper and remember what Jesus means to you. And consider, what does that say about God? Does that say that God is alive? That He's real? That He's interested? That He's active? That He's involved in your life? Does that say that He wants you to be redeemed? Does that say that He's going to let you starve to death? No! Does that say that He's going to leave you now? No! It says that He sent to you a Messiah that is hope without end. Please make this message real and spend time every day remembering and considering, what does Jesus the gift mean to me? Number four, the shepherds, verse 20, went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. When you go back to work, go back to work grateful. We all have work, right? And hopefully we're getting closer to like our full-time stuff being vocation, meaning like what you're wired to do with your life. But no matter where you are, if you're in a bad job with a bad boss, or you're in a good job, or your job right now is looking for a job, whatever it is, when you go back to work grateful. Because the reality of the gift of Jesus Christ is more real than your job. That's what's going to last. Because listen, someday you're going to die, right? Or be resurrected or whatever, right? Someday you will not be on this earth in that job anymore. And when that happens, guess what? After the initial shock, you will still have stuff to do. Like the angels, I believe we will have stuff to do, right? And when we get to that point, I'm going to remember what Jesus means to me. I'm going to consider that, and I'm going to go to work grateful. Thank you, God, for giving me grace, which is that good thing that I did not deserve, right? In Jesus, the gift, my hope without end. So when we go back to work, just like the shepherds did, is this real enough for you, right? When we go back, I know you, it's just like saying a curse word to talk about work on a Sunday morning. When you go back to work grateful, thankful of what Jesus really means to you. Number 5, verse 20, the shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. Now, what had the angel said? I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David, and you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth lying in a manger. And the angel said, glory to God in the highest and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. It was just as the angel said it would be. Remember, you celebrate Christmas this week and you go through whatever it is, the hard stuff that you don't want to have to do, as whatever it is that you have to go through to get through Christmas, please, please remember Jesus the gift. It was just as the angels said. A baby in a manger. Hope without end, right? God, the Savior, the Messiah, the Lord, that's who Jesus is. That's what he means to us. Amen? That's got me excited. I don't know how you're like jumping out of your seats like a bunch of popcorn popping. Let's stand up and close with prayer this morning. You can, that song, Hope Has Come, you can actually find that. There's a Christmas album on iTunes by the City Bible Church Youth Worship Band. You can find City Bible Church Hope Has Come through iTunes, and you can buy that and listen to that song again. Such a great song. And it also has Hear the Angels Sing, which we sung earlier this morning. I'm so grateful as we come towards the end of the year. I've just been thinking so much about how much has happened this year. And, you know, Rebecca and I came in here in 2010 like a parachute drop. You know, like we knew Joe and Anna, and that was it. And now, and I know that there's a variety of people that were working this morning and couldn't come. There's so many people that we know in this neighborhood, and God is literally, almost despite our best efforts, creating a church right here. In this theater on Sunday mornings, in our home, you know, Wednesday nights, we've got small group, and we will in the future continue to have small groups and other times of the week as well. In these neighborhoods, no matter where you live, you know, Hamilton and Waverly and wherever it is that you live, God is creating a church among us. And it's like a baby. It's been like a pregnancy and it's an amazing thing. But you know what? That's not the point. That's not why we come together. We don't come together so that a church can exist. That would just be silly. We come together because Jesus is what matters. Because He is real, and because He is the hope, and because we can't help but do something with our gratitude. That's why we're here. So we'll bow our heads and pray, and I know that it's easy for any of us, especially at this time of year, to be stressed, to be hurt, angry, lonely, tired. That's so easy. And I've felt maybe all of those things in the past 24 hours. We want to pray for you. We want to pray with you. And we've really enjoyed our time in prayer already this morning. But as I close in prayer, if you want to raise your hand, I'm happy to pray for you. Or you want to come forward to the front. Happy Rebecca and I and our team to pray with you this morning. And then we'll enjoy the food out in the concessions area this morning and just have a great week. But reach out and ask God for help so that you can remember and consider that Jesus is the gift. Let's bow our heads. God, I thank you for sending Jesus as the gift. Lord, I pray that today, by your Holy Spirit, you would minister to each one of us and remind us of what Jesus means. Remind us of what the gift of Jesus means to us. Our hope without end, our salvation, our peace when we can't find peace, our joy that never goes away, no matter what we're facing, the love that overwhelms us, that forgiveness of sins. I thank you for what you mean to us, and thank you for what you've done in us, around us this year. I pray that you'd inspire us to courageous generosity, to reach out to people this week, to learn how to live on less so that we can reach out to those around us that are not as privileged as we are, so that we can reach out to them and be generous and give to them a smile, a hug, an encouragement, a compliment, buy them a cup of coffee, a donut, a fruitcake, something. God, help us to be generous. Lord, we thank you for your love and all that you've done among us. Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you for coming today. It's really good to see you.